stuff you recede from the Suez Canal and let it become the property of the Egyptian government. Since that time, we haven't heard of any American president who has the courage to speak out against Israel. On the contrary, as you can, right now, this is an election year, this is election time, you can tune in to these potential presidents. Right now we have three front runners, Obama and Clinton and McCain, and none of them dare speak truth to an Israel that is going wild once again in trying to foment instability in the area. The issue of Lebanon in the past 10 days or so is another example of the troublemaking that the Israelis are up to, along with their American sidekick in the area. It used to be, I think the previous speaker can remember this, and some of you who are in the audience who are as old as we are can remember that after 1967, when the Israeli government began to, in a frantic manner, it embarked on a grand policy of building and constructing settlements, and what it calls, it's a miniature settlement, calls it an outpost throughout the occupied Palestinian territories, especially in the West Bank. Now, the official American language at the time, the American government used to call these settlements illegal settlements. And there has been in the past 40 years or so, there has been a metamorphosis of this language, and no longer will you encounter anywhere in the official diplomatic and political language of Washington, D.C., any reference to illegal settlements. And that's another indicator in this internal convergence of interests between Washington and Tel Aviv, who really here is influencing the other. There is one of these unknown details of history that I was saying that there hasn't been a president who had the political and moral courage to speak to the Israelis when they go overboard in what they are doing. I should note, even though this is not common knowledge, as are many details pertaining to the Israeli-American alliance and how it works out policies in the Middle East. Golda Meir, who used to be the foreign minister of Israel before she became prime minister, had come to the United States, and she had a discussion with President Kennedy at the time. And that discussion went something like this. Of course, I'm paraphrasing the whole thing. It had to do with Israel at the time developing its nuclear weapon. Israel was relying to an advanced extent on France in developing its nuclear weapon. And it was getting there, just like you hear today in the media that Iran is developing nuclear technology. At the time, Israel was not in the media. No one was speaking about Israel developing nuclear technology, much less a nuclear weapon. And but obviously, the head of the United States, the president of the United States, was aware of what was going on. And he spoke in a direct way to Golda Meir and told her that if you go ahead with developing your nuclear weapons, then there will come a time, maybe in the near future, that the interests of the United States and the interests of Israel are going to diverge. And when and if that happens, the United States has no choice but to pursue its own interests independent of the Israeli interest. And it was a matter of a year or two after that, and we know what happened to Kennedy, and as they say, the rest is history. Then we have another indicator in this very well undefined relationship between Washington and Tel Aviv. And this incident has to do with the Israeli attack on the USS Liberty. USS Liberty was one of these intelligence gathering vessels that was located, positioned in the eastern Mediterranean during the time of the 1967 Israeli war. Israel launched that war, contrary to some of what the media says, or most of what the media says. And this intelligence gathering ship belonging to the United States Navy was there, obviously, to snoop the information, to pick up the communication that is going on inside of the war command structure in Israel, also the other command structures in Egypt, Syria, and that general area that was at war. It was during this six-day interval of war, beginning on June 5th, 1967, that Israeli warplanes bombed the USS Liberty. They killed 34 American servicemen, Navy personnel, and they injured 173, I guess, 174, whatever the count was. And during the time of attack, the USS Liberty crew sent distress signals, SOSs, to the 6th Fleet in the Mediterranean. Hey, look, we're under attack. Come and rescue us. And these signals were received by the 6th Fleet in the Mediterranean. And I would like to remind you that Admiral McCain, the father of the current Republican presidential runner-up for the office in the White House, his father was in that structure, that Mediterranean command structure of the U.S. Navy at the time. But anyways, I think it was a couple of U.S. fighters were scrambled to come to the rescue of the USS Liberty, but as they were on their way, the orders were reversed, and so they had to go back. And these American sailors, whoever still survives of them, did not have the legal process of following up on the cause and the reason for this type of deliberate Israeli attack on an American military vessel that was well identified, because the person who was in charge of that ship, he had displayed the American flag that could not be mistaken by any of these attackers. Besides, before they attacked the ship, these Israeli pilots were flying back and forth over it, and they were well aware that this was an American vessel. But this whole issue, in those tense times, and in a compact manner, the issue went to the White House. And President Johnson at the time, along with the Defense Department, they killed any attempt to investigate this affair, and they told the crew of the USS Liberty that you are to remain silent on all the details that went into this Israeli attack on an American vessel. Usually when something like that happens, the law